Well, good morning to all. Good to see you in the Lord's house. And pray the Lord will come and meet with us today. What a joy to be in God's house today to worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to bring glory to our God. What a privilege. We know that as redeemed of the Lord, this is the great privilege that we have as we can worship God now through Christ. And what a joy it is to be here today. This is the last class on Roman Catholicism, so I'm going to give my testimony, Lord willing, in just a moment. But before we start, let's all seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's all pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be in your house today, to be worshipers of the living God, the true and living God, the God who has revealed himself to us through the Bible. We thank you for the Word of God and for the riches that is ours for having it and reading it. And the great rich theme of redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of Scripture, and we rejoice in that great and glorious theme of the Bible, the redemption for sinners through the blood of Jesus Christ. We rejoice today and thinking of his birth, when Christ came into the world, he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. And we thank you, Lord, that you did indeed accomplish that, that great accomplishment that no man could accomplish, that we were doomed and dead in our sins. But Christ came to reverse the great doom and curse that has fallen on all of us because of our union in Adam. We are now made in union with Christ. For those who have trusted in Christ and believed upon Jesus Christ are now saved from the wrath to come, saved from the condemnation of sin. And we thank you, Father, for so great a salvation. We thank you that it is so free and so full of grace, for the fullness of grace has come upon us and the gift of righteousness has been imparted to us through Christ, and we rejoice in the imputed righteousness of our Savior today, that we can stand before you, Lord, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, not clothed in our filthy, defiled, corruptible sins, but clothed in the righteousness of the pure, holy Son of God. We pray today that we might make much of him, that we might glory in the cross, that we might truly rejoice in all the things that are ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray today that as thy word goes forth, that it will glorify thy Son, that it might encourage thy saints, that it might edify thy people, and that it might accomplish the work that thou hast ordained it to accomplish. So, Lord, we thank you for salvation and for your Son, who is the focus and center of our salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before I give my testimony, just like to open it up for any questions that you might have regarding Roman Catholicism. I know we didn't do a comprehensive, exhaustive study of Roman Catholicism, but does anybody have any questions regarding the Church of Rome? Or yes, Joe.
Should we approach them?
Well, ultimately, the Lord is the one who will judge all men, you know, in terms of the ultimate judgment. But from my study and from hopefully the study that we've gone through, looking at the blasphemy of the Mass, you know, what the Mass is involved in, I can't see that a person can stay in the Catholic Church and be a Christian. I mean, if a person does get saved, and I'm an example of this, a person does get saved and wants to stay in the Catholic Church, just like Luther and Calvin and all the reformers wanted to stay in the Roman Catholic Church. They tried to, but you see, Rome is given over to the devil, given over to apostasy. And the scripture is very clear that we are to withdraw ourselves from those who have given over to another gospel. See, Rome's perverted and completely diluted the gospel so that it's not a gospel anymore of the gospel that we read about regarding Jesus Christ. So can you be saved in the Roman Catholic Church? Yes, and I'll give you my testimony in just a moment as to how the Lord saved me. But can you stay in the Roman Catholic Church knowing these things? And if you can, then I think that's evidence that you're still lost and not know the truth. So we need to pray for people who are in the Catholic Church who knowingly, they know these things. Now, see, that's the problem in the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of people don't know these blasphemous doctrines and teachings. And so we need to have a burden for our Roman Catholic friends and pray that the Lord will give us opportunity to, just like any lost soul, be able to apply the gospel to those who we're talking to, because a Roman Catholic needs to be saved just like a Mormon or just like a Jehovah's Witnesses, but they have certain baggage that they have, that Mormons have, that Jehovah's Witnesses have, that would be good to know when you go to minister the gospel. And that's why I thought it was practically important for us to understand some of the important things regarding Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism and Roman Catholicism, so that when you do have occasion to talk to people about the gospel, you can have a better understanding and grasp to be able to talk to them where they are. And so I hope that this study through the cults and through Roman Catholicism has helped you to have more confidence to talk to people about their system and compare it to the gospel system. So I hope that was one of my purposes in bringing forth the study. So I hope it's helped you in that respect. So it's a good question. Anybody else have any other questions or comments? Yes, Ann. Right.
I don't think a lot of people understand that their Bible is different than ours. Much like Jehovah's Witnesses, they've got their watchtower.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. So, I mean, is it considered the Word of God? Would it be still considered the Word of God, what they do have? And from what I understand, that it's still, they have books that we hold to. Right. Those are the books that you want them to read. The main reason why we hold to the scripture we have is because of the, we talked about the Apocrypha for a little while. We didn't go into great depth, but we looked at some of the reasons why we don't hold to the Apocrypha. One is it's because Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha. Jesus quoted from the Pentateuch, the Psalms, Proverbs, never quoted from Tobias or Maccabees. And another reason is because the Jews never accepted the apocryphal books as inspired. So those are two good reasons why we can say with very sure confidence that that's why we hold to the Word of God, because we're following the Scripture mandate and the Scripture teaching. Nowhere in the Scripture do we have warrant to include those apocryphal books in the Word of God, and that was one of the byproducts of the Protestant Reformation, is that the Protestants parted from the Apocrypha and the Roman Catholics included the Apocrypha as the canon. And you heard the anathema that the Roman Catholic Church placed upon Protestants during the Council of Trent. For those who do not hold to the Apocrypha as canonical books, let them be accursed. And that was a word that Paul used in Galatians, let them be damned eternally. So we're under the anathema of the Roman Catholic Church still to this day. They've never rescinded from that anathema. So if anybody's judgmental, it's the Catholics upon the Protestants. So we, to this day, are still technically under the anathema and condemnation of the Roman Church. Yes?
The other question was, when did they take out the, well, in the Ten Commandments, they took out the one about the graven images, and they took number 10 and split it into two. When did they do that?
I'm not sure. I didn't see any of that in the Council of Trent, that development, but that I'm not sure when they did that. And that I don't really feel confident to talk too much on it because I don't want to say any things that are untrue or things I just don't know about. But that's a good question. I may have to table that so that I can maybe research that a little bit more and find a little bit more about that. I can always bring that up maybe next Sunday if I have some time to have time to study it. I can certainly maybe have a better answer for you for that. But that's a good question. Anybody else have any questions or concerns or comments? Has it been profitable for you? Yes.
I've just got this one question. Do Roman Catholics have the same kind of great commission like Christians do to go tell the word of go tell the world about the gospel? Just like, is it just the same but in their own Bible, or is it different?
Yeah, you have very zealous Catholics who want to proclaim not the same message per se as we do, but the message of the church. And that's, Catholicism has always been evangelistic in that respect. If you go down to Latin American countries like Mexico and Latin America, those countries, they've been heavily evangelized by Roman Catholicism, and still to this day, you see, it's almost completely given over to Roman Catholicism. Why? Because they had missionaries that went forth, especially after the Reformation, to spread the message of the church, that the Mother Church is the answer to your salvation, is the answer to your troubles. And so too, the Protestants had their missionaries as well. But we differ in that their ultimate message is the church saves you. And our message is that Jesus saves. Yes, Dan.
That's one of the dangers of the Catholic Church for believers, is sometimes we can give them more credit. Like, are they really Christians, you know? But, you know, Satan comes as an angel of light. And it's really, sometimes it can be hard to decipher that. Mm-hmm.
It can, yeah, because Satan's a mastermind when it comes to confusion and deceit. He's been doing it for how many years? And we've just been, living for, some of us, 50, 60 years, 70 years, whatever. So we're outnumbered in terms of his experience compared to ours. So you're right, Dan. You know, we have a very crafty and subtle enemy, the devil. And he wants to destroy. That's his ultimate goal, is to destroy the church, cause confusion and havoc and chaos and division. And he does a good job of that. But the Lord's always preserved a remnant, always had his people during each generation, there's always been the light of the gospel, and we're a product of that by God's grace, and hallelujah, we're part of that assembly of God's saints. But it's only by the grace of God, for we would have been sifted by the devil just as Peter, if Christ hadn't prayed for us. So absolutely, we fight a terrible foe, a foe that hates us with all the anger and hatred and malice that a demon can conjure up. He hates us, and he wants to destroy us. He wants us to depart from the gospel, absolutely. So this isn't, hopefully, a Sunday school that bashed the Roman Catholicism system. It was just to show you the facts as to what they taught and to compare them to the Scripture and to hopefully open up our hearts to realize the great deception that's out there by the devil, and to give us faith and grace to persevere and to continue to magnify Christ and the message of the gospel and to stay true to the word of God. That's what we pray by God's grace we will continue to do. I had a lady on the phone this week. She was a Christian lady, she said, and she said, keep the faith. And you think, oh, yeah, I'll keep the faith. But, oh, how I need to be reminded how important it is to keep the faith in Christ. and to humble ourselves and to know that without his presence and guidance and counsel, we're lost without his light. So, any other questions or concerns about the Roman Catholic Church? Okay, well, let me share with you my testimony. There's a scripture that I'd like to share with you, Psalm 66, verse 16. Giving testimony unto the Lord is very biblical. It's a very biblical practice, and we see it both in the Old and New Testament, but here in Psalm 66, verse 16, I think this is biblical warrant for what I'm about to do. It says, "Come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And he truly has given to me grace and mercy and has saved my soul from idolatry, from self-centeredness, from being lost in my own sin. The Lord saved me. I was born in the Roman Catholic Church and therefore baptized in the Roman Catholic Church. I received my first Holy Communion when I was 7 years old. That was Betsy's age when I received Holy Eucharist. That's an important sacrament in the Roman Catholic Church. That's the time when you're now able to go and receive the body and blood of Christ, the bread and the cup. But we never drank from the cup. We only had the wafer. The priest drank the blood, drank the cup for us. And sometimes they filled the cup pretty full of not grape juice. And therefore, my priest was an alcoholic. He was an alcoholic and certainly had a very vicious temper. I can remember Father Riley. O'Reilly was the man who was my priest and had a violent temper. I can remember sitting in CC class. It's Catholic catechism. We learned about how to be bad, basically, and be mischievous. And I remember I was fooling around with some of my friends, and I was in the back of the church, and the teacher was going through a lesson, and the priest didn't even know Father Riley came through the church, but I was fooling around, and next thing I knew, I had a slap in the back of my head. It was Father Riley who went and put me back in the right order and hit me in the head so hard I thought I was going to cry. But I couldn't cry in front of my friends. But he had a violent temper. I dare not go back home and tell my folks that because I'd get another slap in the head because my folks would say, well, if the priest hit you, you deserved it. And so that was the kind of catechism I received in the Catholic Church. It was a harsh reverence or respect for men who had their own terrible problems, addictions. But that was later on after I received my Holy Eucharist. Then I was confirmed. I went through the sacrament of confirmation when I was 14 years of age. The confirmation is just a sacrament in the Catholic Church where you confirm those things which you've been catechized upon, those things that you were teaching, that the things that you learned about the church and about the doctrines of the church. It comes to an age where you just confirm all those things to be true. And I didn't confirm anything except I just went through the motions of the sacrament and was confirmed. I confirmed that I was a Roman Catholic, whatever that meant. And so I received a confirmation. So I played this Catholic religious game for years. I became very religious when I was in high school, when my mom and my dad, they were taking us to Catholic Church. And the thing that I can remember most about going to the Catholic Church was the donut sale once a month at the end of the month. We had Mr. Donut come and set up all his donuts at the back end of the church. And I couldn't wait until the last music was played and the doors opened. I ran out and my eyes popped open and I wanted to sort through the donuts first. Because if you get out there first, you get the best selection of the donuts. If you get out there last, you get the leftovers, and that's no good. That was really, isn't that pathetic? But yet, that's the main thing that I really take from my experience in the Catholic Church for years and years and years. But in high school, I started to search deeper in terms of God and the mysteries of God, and I wanted to find out more about God in general, and I didn't know a lot. I said my prayers like a good Catholic boy, but it wasn't really until I entered into high school and I was introduced to my history teacher in a public high school, Mr. Gardner. Mr. Gardner was a history teacher, and he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord, and it wasn't just because he carried his Bible around or because he said prayers, but because you could see it in his countenance and in his life that this man was different. I was involved in sports, and that was one of my idols. At the time, I was a sports freak and played all kinds of sports, wrestling, football, baseball, soccer, basketball, you name it, I played it. And I love sports, and to this day, I like sports. But I just, that's all I did along with becoming religious in the Catholic Church. He was my baseball coach too, Mr. Gardner. He was a very good baseball coach, and developed a real respect for him because I compared his testimony to the testimonies of my other coaches. My other coaches were just foul-mouthed men, smokers and drinkers, and it was like night and day when it came to the coaches. Mr. Gardner was the clean, pure man, in my eyes, who never swore, who never, when he got mad, he would say silly things that we would all make fun of, just in terms of him letting out his anger, compared to our other coaches who were oftentimes in a rage, lost control and completely defiled and out of control. But Mr. Gardner was, you could say, self-controlled compared to the other men. And he started to take an interest in me. He started to, if you will, kind of take me under his wing. He started to introduce me to the Bible, and he invited me to come to a fellowship of Christian athletes. And we would meet before school in the morning, and we started reading the Word of God, and I started to study the Scripture for the first time. And the one thing that Mr. Gardner did was he didn't come and judge me and tell me all the things I was doing wrong, all the negatives. He was not just constantly pounding me over the head about this system or that system. What he did was we just studied the Scripture, and we opened the Word of God, and we discussed the Scripture, and we started to develop an interest in the Word of God because he made it interesting. He made it such that I wanted to read the next chapter in the book that we were studying. As we were going through the New Testament, the Gospel of John in particular, there was this emphasis on belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And I noticed that the things that I was reading in the Scripture and the things that I was being taught by Mr. Gardner weren't being emphasized in the Roman Catholic Church. There are all these other kinds of things, these extra things that were being mentioned in the Catholic Church that really weren't in the Bible. So I started to compare what I was reading in the Scripture to what I was seeing in the Catholic Church and my experience. And so I started questioning things, question after question after question. And I realized that when I started questioning things, I saw that there's a discrepancy between what the Bible says and what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And I would bring my questions to Mr. Gardner. And Mr. Gardner would always keep pointing me back to the Scripture. And eventually, the ultimate goal was to point me to Christ, because he was teaching that the Scripture, the whole theme, the whole focus of Holy Scripture was a person, Jesus Christ. It was looking forward to his coming in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, he came in the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and then the Scriptures that occurred came after Christ, looking forward to what he did, but then also to his second coming. So it was just this real complete unit. It was just one message in this book that we call the Bible. And so my whole view of the Scripture was transformed as the Lord was using this man, Mr. Gardner, in my life. And as I was comparing Scripture with Scripture, so I could say at that time, I was very diligent, due diligence in my study of Scripture, though I didn't know anything, really. I just loved to study the Word, and I loved to learn the theme of the Word of God and the things to look for in the Scripture. And it wasn't that I was trying to particularly ignore other things in the Scripture, but the focus was looking for Christ and his work and his glory and his his forgiveness through him. So I remember him asking me to come to an evangelistic meeting one day with him, and I said, I'll have to ask my mom. And so I told my mom, and I didn't know what my mom was going to say, because my mom's was a very religious Catholic, but she had no problem with it. She said, yeah, you can go to the church service with Mr. Gardner. So I went to the church service, and I can remember the preacher, the evangelist, preaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I felt a real drawing to the reality of the resurrection. Never really thought about it. I'd go to Easter service in the Catholic Church, but it was just a formal dead service. But here, this man preached on the subject of the resurrection, and he was applying it to your life now. It wasn't just a historical fact, but he was applying the resurrection to the power that Jesus Christ basically affects you in salvation. He gives you new life. He gives you this spirit that caused him to rise from the dead. That spirit, this man was basically saying, is given in Jesus Christ through the gospel if you trust in him and believe upon him. And that was very important in my coming to the Lord. But at basically the same time that I heard that message, I was very, very devout in my Roman Catholicism. I wanted to go to Mass as much as I could. I also wanted to go to retreats. And there was a retreat that a priest was holding there. His name was Father Sullivan. And he was a real comedian. He was a really funny man. When he spoke, people just laughed. And he was, even to this day. If you heard him speak, he'd probably get you to laugh. But that's why people like to go hear him, because he was a comedian. Made you feel good and made you laugh and forget about your problems. But during the time that he was speaking, he opened to John chapter 3, and he spoke from that well-known passage of the discussion that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And he started to read the scripture. He wasn't commenting or making jokes at this time. It just seemed like there was a solemnity that came upon the meeting. And I noticed that was one of the things I noticed when I was there, is that all the laughing and all the giggling stopped, and he just went into the scripture. And he said, he read basically in verse 3, chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he kept reading. He went down to verse 7, and he read, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And he put the emphasis on ye must be born again. And when he said that, I felt the Lord just speaking directly to me. You must be born again. And that was like an arrow that went through my heart. The Word of God opened up and it struck me and truly made me realize that I must be born again. It's a personal thing. It's not something that you receive from your parents or something that you receive from a church, but you must be born again by the Lord. It's the Lord. And the thing that struck me was, ye must be born again. It was the agency. It was the one who was to make you born again. There is no reference here to the church or to the Holy Mother Church or to the sacraments. It was God. God must make you born again. And so again, as I was studying the scripture with Mr. Gardner, as I was going to these meetings in the Roman Catholic Church, all these things were providential, and that the Lord was, again, working in me at this time to show me my need for salvation, my need for Jesus Christ. But perhaps the climax of all this was in my own time when I was reading the scripture, when I was going through the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. I came to the second commandment one night when I was reading in my bedroom. And in my bedroom, I had this huge crucifix on my wall. And this crucifix, a crucifix is something in the Catholic Church that's the symbol of the cross with a man dying on that cross. It's supposed to depict Jesus Christ. But I'm sure you've seen crucifixes. A lot of people wear them on their as jewelry. But I had this huge crucifix in my room. And as I was going through the commandments, the Ten Commandments, I came to the second commandment, which is, thou shalt not have any graven images made unto thee or in any likeness of the Lord. And so when I read those words, I looked up and I saw the crucifix there basically staring at me, and my heart immediately was convicted with sin that I was committing adultery. I was breaking that commandment. It was immediate. It was instant. And this sense of guilt came upon me. And so I took the cross, the crucifix, and threw it in the trash can. And I went downstairs, went to bed, went downstairs the next day, didn't think anything of it. I thought that this was the natural thing to do. God forbade it. So I did what God told me to do. I got rid of it. So my mom was in my room cleaning, I guess. And that would have been an all-day job to clean my room. But she found in my trash can the crucifix in the trash can. So I get a call later that day at school to go down to the principal's office. And said, your mom's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. I didn't know what it was going to be about. I didn't even think about what I did last night as maybe a consequence. So I got on the phone and she said, I need you to come home right away. I called Father Rick. He's going to be at the house when you come home. You come home right now. So I had to go home. I went home. And there he was in his black suit with his white collar, sitting there with my mother, upset, obviously. And I realized, oh, this must be because of what I did last night. I threw the crucifix in the trash can. But again, no biggie. I thought the Lord truly made it clear to me this is something I had to obey, so I did it. And Catholics started asking questions about, you know, why did you do this? You know, what possessed you to do this? And I said, I told them. I said I was reading the scripture, and this great guilt came upon me, and I felt a need to honor the Lord and remove this crucifix from my wall and throw it in the trash can because that's where it belonged. And he says, well, you understand, it's not, we don't worship that. We just use that as a symbol, something to remind us of the work of Jesus Christ. And I said, well, the word image kept coming back to me. And I said, there's an image here, though, but we're not even to make the image because it seems like when I'm reading the scripture, if you have the image, it may lead you down the road to idolatry. So just remove the image. Don't even give yourself temptation or stumbling block to fall into idolatry. That's the way I took it. And said, no, that's not the way it is. And I was convinced that was the right way. So I stood that position. And to this day, I obviously stand on that position. But we disagreed there. And it was all based upon the scripture, the word of God. Because I've been reading it. I've been studying it. God's been sending people in my life to help me understand it. And it was all providential. And so that question about idolatry and about the crucifix led to other questions. And it came out during the conversation that the priest basically said that the stories about Noah and Adam and Eve were all just like fairy tales, figments of men's imaginations, and that these were not facts. These are not things that really happened. But people, scholars, great men are learning, develop these stories to help the less educated, the ignorant, those who were struggling to understand the basics about life. They came up with these stories. So I said to him, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying then that this Bible is not the Word of God. And he says, no, it's not the Word of God. It's not the Word of God. It's a book of men that have... And this is what he's saying. Now, that's not the position of the Roman Catholic Church. But this is what the priest is saying. You can imagine the massive confusion in the Roman Catholic Church when it comes to priests telling you these things. What he was doing was just imbibing the liberalism of his day, questioning books in the Bible and questioning the divine authorship of Scripture. He fell into that category. He just fell into the category of the liberals. So he didn't believe that. He felt that some things in the Bible were Scripture, were biblical, were God-inspired, but not everything. And so again, that was something that it was exposed to me. These things were coming out. Why? Because God was drawing myself to himself. God was drawing me to him, and he was taking away all of my ignorance and my darkness and these things that I just accepted without even questioning. Now I started questioning, and all these things started to open up to me. And at the same time, as these things were happening, my dad, the Lord was working through a man at his work who was a Christian to lead him to Christ. So there was this mutual thing going on in my family where God was working in my heart and then working in my dad's heart And it came to the point where through these examples, these providences in my life, God saved me. God made me a new creature. And it wasn't just like one moment, but it was a compilation. It was a step-by-step growing to Christ that he eventually came to the point where I came to know Christ as my Savior and Lord. I can remember right before I left the Catholic Church, I was very spiritual. I felt very spiritual anyway, but I was as lost as anybody. But I remember going into a charismatic meeting with my dad in the Catholic Church. We were meeting in the sacristy, which was just a little room in a Catholic church where you go to say your prayers or say your confession. And I remember just a little band of Catholics were there praying. And we started to pray. And then one woman got up and started speaking in tongues. And she spoke in tongues about 5 minutes. And then another woman got up and spoke in tongues. And I felt at that point, that was the confirmation from the Lord, you need to leave the Catholic Church. My dad said, we can't continue to do this because these people are just speaking gibberish. No one understands what they're saying. But yet it's all interpreted as being spiritual. And yet that was the straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. And so we had to try to convince my mom to leave the Catholic Church. My mother said that I was born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. And she was very, very stubborn, very obstinate to hear about the gospel. But the Lord slowly opened her heart, slowly through providences in her life, through the Spirit of God convicting her of her sin and showing her the fallacies and the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, where she was eventually led to the truth. And then my brothers and sisters all, again, came to know the Lord. And so it was a miraculous, supernatural miracle in our family, where we all came to see the truth of who we were in the sight of God and who God is in our salvation. And so we had to leave the Catholic Church. And that was a hard thing to do because that's all we knew. It's all the people that we knew, they were good friends to us. They did many good things for our family. But we left and we started going to a Baptist church. Eventually went through different churches. And again, we were always seeking and searching the scriptures and wanting to know more about the Savior. And then I remember my dad listening to John Greer on the radio, an AM station. It was one of those back AM stations that no one turns to. My dad just happened to go through this AM station. It was like 1291, whatever. You could hear the fuzz in the back. But yeah, you hear this man, this Irish brogue preaching away. And he said, wow, this is he's a good preacher. And he's not too far from us. He's in Newtown Square. So we all went together. And we went in the Newtown Square. It was just a house. It was a room built onto a house. And there were maybe 7 people there when we went. Newtown Square. And we said, where are the people? You know, where are they? And we came, and then another family, the Ruppners. I don't know if you've heard the Ruppner family, but Bill Ruppner, he's an important part in the church in Malvern. He goes to the church in Malvern. Kim Ruppner, you may know Kim Ruppner, married to Jim Browse. Jim Browse is an elder in our church now. But they went to the church. So they had, John Greer had the Barnes family and the Ruppner family come. And then people just started coming to the church. And I could say we had a revival in that place. God came down in an unusual way with his Spirit. We revived our hearts. And we were privileged to go through that time. And the church got so big that we had to move to another church. So they looked for another church, and they found the church in Malvern. So they moved from Newtown Square to Malvern, and that's where they are today. But they were at a point in Malvern under John Greer's ministry where they were looking for a bigger church. But then John Greer was called to Northern Ireland, and so the church is still in Malvern. But that's a quick summation of my Christian life in 30 minutes. But it's all due to God's mercy and God's grace in Christ. And so any Catholic who is in the Catholic Church today, they can hear the Word of God just like I did. And the Spirit can use the Word of God to draw them to Christ and to draw them to the truth. And I didn't want to leave the Catholic Church, just like the Reformers didn't want to leave the Catholic Church, but we had no choice to. The Catholic Church made their bed, and they sleep with harlots and with whores. And we need to leave that system to bring purity and holiness and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how I felt about the whole thing. And it's not the people, it's the system that I despise, because it's a satanic system. It's a diabolical system. And so we need to pray the Lord will, just like any sinner who's lost in idolatry and in their sin, that they might be brought to the truth in the Word of God. So praise God for His mercy and grace to me and to my family. My mom's with the Lord now. My brother Mark's with the Lord. And it seems like the way the Barnes people die at our house, we don't like to say goodbye. We want to go right to heaven and see Christ. So my brother died in a car accident. He died, not instantly, but he died a few hours after he got in an accident. And then my mom, she died of extreme blood clots, where her body just couldn't continue to pump the blood into her heart, so she died too. So who knows? Maybe that's the way the Lord will have me go too. I hope. I know the Lord knows my appointment. He knows when I'm going to be with Him, just like He knows your appointment, when you're going to leave this world. You can have the best health care and the best health diagnosis and the best visit with the doctor, but that doesn't guarantee anything when it comes to this world. We need to be ready to meet with Christ. And for the believer, it's certainly a great thing to think upon that day when we will see Christ in His glory, when the glory of God will be manifested in the sons of God, and we will see our Savior face to face, and we will see our loved ones. The sad thing is, obviously, our loved ones will be left behind, but we too have the hope that we will see them in heaven too. So, anybody have any questions or comments before we close? Yes, Joe. Yeah, I'm the oldest of six.
And so everybody else was removed from the Catholic school and then went on to go. What school did your family go to after that?
Well, we didn't have the money to go to Catholic school because it was expensive to go to parochial school. We would have gone to Catholic school, but we didn't have the money, so we went to public school. So eventually, my mom homeschooled, and that's kind of, we followed in line. And but yeah, we were in the public school system, and I'm a firm believer that the public school system needs Christian teachers. I'm an advocate for that because that's how the Lord used me to use that in my life to bring me to Christ. So, but you have to be called. You have to be gifted and skilled in that area because it's not for everyone, you know. So, but yeah, we were in the public school system. It's almost like it's a completely different person's life in my life because you just see, I just am living a completely different life than I did before. It's just a completely radical. It's like a different person. It's like it's just a mirage. It's like, did I really live that life? It's almost like, you know, was that me? And yet this body that I have, this body did at one time worship Mary and pray the rosary, and this body of mine experienced all these things, and now I'm here, 50 years old, a new creature in Christ. My body's the same, and in a lot of ways, I still like the same things, but not to the extreme. But the change is that my focus and my purpose in life is now to magnify God through Jesus Christ and to bring glory to Him. Now, I fail, just like all of us do. But because we know the Scripture and because we have a Heavenly Father who doesn't just throw us out the window once we make a mistake, but He's patient and steadfast with us, and He's kind to us. He causes us to learn from our mistakes, and we still make mistakes, but there's going to come a time when we will be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And the Lord's sanctifying all of us. So I can definitely see God's grace working in my life. I'm not the same person as I was last year. The Lord's bringing me closer to Himself. And that's something that we all have to evaluate and examine ourselves. Where is our walk with the Lord? It's good to be able to give a testimony that happened to me years ago. But what about right now? You know, what's your life now? Is your life focused on the Lord? Is your life wanting to live for the Lord? Is that your primary purpose? And we can say yes, but is your life really showing that? And that's really where it comes down to, is your life, what's your life showing? Because anybody can say they're a Christian, but do you have the fruit to show forth that life for Christ? And that's what we need to pray. Lord, help me to be fruitful and multiply the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. All right, well, hopefully the testimony was a blessing to you. And one of these days, maybe you'll be able to get up here and give your own personal testimony. Because that's what I love about testimonies, is that they're all different. If they were all the same, it'd be boring, right? But everybody has a different testimony. And that's why I love testimony so much, because you have your own testimony to share with us how God worked in your life through Jesus Christ. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ and salvation. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins in his blood. We thank you for the power of God, for it. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Lord, help us as thy people to live by faith. For the scripture says, when Christ comes back, will I find faith on the earth? There will be a very terrible lack of faith when Christ comes back. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be those who trust in thee by your strength and by your power. For we know that we don't have the faith, Lord, in and of ourselves. But Lord, you can give us the Spirit of God to teach us all things and to teach us how to be more like Christ. So be merciful to us, Heavenly Father, and be gracious to us. Receive our praise and honor, and as we go into your worship service now, that we might bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray in his name. Amen.